Now, some of you think, boy, this is kind of weird. God putting a picture in my mind. Listen, if NASA can receive pictures from Mars and Jupiter, don't you think God can put a picture in your mind? Yeah. And if NBC can take a picture in New York City and bounce it up into the heavens off a satellite, and bounce it back down to my living room and put the picture in my living room, don't you think God could put a picture in your mind? Well, of course He can.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called, Can You Hear Me Now? In these lessons, we'll learn how to truly discern the Lord's voice in the midst of a world full of distractions. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get this entire series on audio CD or MP3 download. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, How to Get Guidance from God.
Now, if wanting to hear God speak and withdrawing to a quiet place was all you needed to hear God, it would be a snap. But those are just the first two of six steps to hearing God. The next thing you do is you have to calm yourself down, and that's the third step. Wait. Wait is the third step. I want to hear God. I withdraw to a quiet place, and then I wait, and I calm my thoughts and emotions. Now you have to settle yourself down on the inside. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will wait. In other words, I'm going to wait to hear God. He says in the NIV version, I will station myself. You might circle that station. What does it mean? It means I'm going to stay put. I'm going to be still. I am not going to move until I hear from God. God, I am planting myself right here in this chair. I am stationing myself. I am not going to move. I'm going to be still until I hear from you. I'm waiting, God. I'm going to wait right here. Now, why is that important? Because hurry is the death of prayer. The reason why you don't hear God is because you are in too much of a hurry. God, I got 2 minutes. Come on, give it to me real quick. I got to go to my next appointment. God's going, we'll just pass on that. Hurry is the death of prayer. The truth is, it's very simple. God speaks to people who take the time to listen. If you don't take the time to listen, God's not going to talk to you. You must want it, withdraw into a quiet place so you're away from all the distractions, and then you wait and you calm yourself down. You have to take the time to listen. Now, everything in the world tries to keep you from listening to God. And especially the devil. Satan doesn't want you praying. Satan doesn't want you listening to God. So he's going to use two tools very effectively against you. The first is your circumstance. Here's what happens in the typical prayer time. Maybe you decide, you know, I'm going to spend some time today and pray. So you go and you find a quiet chair and you sit down or whatever and you get quiet. And just as you start to pray, the moment you get quiet, your mind will fill with 100 things that you have to do. And they all come to mind all at once. And they just start popping into your mind. All of your unfinished tasks, all of the calls you need to return, all of your responsibilities, all of the things you cannot forget. And they start popping into your mind, and your mind flips back and forth from subject to subject to subject to subject. And it's kind of like pushing scan on the radio in your car. It goes 2 seconds here, then 2 seconds here, and 2 seconds here, and 2 seconds here. And it's hard to concentrate on God when all those things that you need to remember are coming up in your mind. Now, what do you do? Well, you can try to push it away, but that doesn't work. If you try to ignore it, it just screams out later, louder, don't forget me, don't forget me, don't forget me. So what do? Let me give you a very simple solution. Get a notepad and write it down. When you're praying, you start to pray and you start to remember, oh, I can't forget that. You know, pick up the kids at school. I can't forget that. Doctor appointment at 2 p.m. Get the milk or whatever. Make that phone call. Stop, write it down, and then go back to prayer. You say, I can do that? Of course you can do that. Excuse me just a minute, God. I'm going to write this down. And then you go back. God understands that. In fact, He knows that what's in your mind more than you do. He knew you were going to think it before you thought it. And it doesn't bother God at all that when all these things start to come into your mind that you need to remember them, just take a pencil and a paper and stop in the middle of your prayer and say, I can't forget this. And you write that down, and then you go back to prayer. Once it's written down, you're not going to worry about, oh, I'm going to forget it. So it's very simple. Just write down what comes to mind while you're praying, and then, you know, you won't have to forget it. Now, if you happen to get past that first mental barrier, the second barrier, past those distractions, is your conscience. And that's the next voice you're going to hear. I didn't tell you to turn the outline over, did I? I'll tell you when to turn the stinking outline over. I haven't even read that verse at the bottom of the front yet. This is all preliminary stuff. Get it? Good. All right. I'm not there yet. I haven't got to that first verse. I'm just getting warmed up. When you start to pray, all these distractions come into your mind, like turning the outline over and stuff like that. And the next voice you hear is your conscience. Now, some of you don't have a problem with this, but some of you, this is a really big problem. And Satan plays on your conscience. And what happens to some of you is the moment you start praying, you start feeling bad. Because you start thinking about all the things that aren't right in your life. And Satan will gladly remind you. And he'll say, now you're blowing it here, He starts criticizing you. He reminds you of all your weaknesses, all your sins, all your failures, all your faults, all your mistakes. He loves to pour that on you, make you feel bad, create a negative feeling. And then he starts whispering in your ear, guilty, 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 guilty. You're bad. What are you doing praying to God with your life messed up like this? Now, let me tell you something. When that happens, that is not the voice of God. That's not God. That's the devil. That is the devil doing that. I mean, it's no wonder we avoid prayer. Who wants to feel bad all the time? If you had a best friend that every time you met with your best friend, he started or she started by saying, let me tell you the 10 things wrong in your life. They wouldn't be your best friend very long. And you'd stop hanging out with them because you go, what kind of friend are you? Every time I get with you, you start telling me all the things that I don't measure up in. When you start to pray and you start to hear, you're not measuring up, you're worthless, you should be better, you should, guilty, 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 that is not the voice of God.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How to Get Guidance from God from our series called Can You Hear Me Now? The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Hey, if you're enjoying this series and today's message, but you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series that includes 4 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's convenient for you. And you can always go back and listen as often as you want or share these messages with a friend. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 4 audio CD boxed set or downloadable high-quality MP3s. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. There are only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
When you start to pray, and you start to hear, you're not measuring up, you're worthless, you should be better, you should, guilty, guilty, guilty. That is not the voice of God. The Bible says, if you are a believer, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means if you have accepted what Jesus did for you on the cross, you saw the passion, if you have accepted that Jesus paid for all your sins, why would God continue to bug you about sins that Jesus already paid for? He wouldn't. He would not. And all those things that you still feel guilty about, that guilt isn't from God, it's from the devil. If you've confessed it already to God and he's given you forgiveness and you've put your trust in Christ and what he did on the passion, in the cross, That's the devil. The Bible calls Satan the accuser of believers. It is his job to make you feel bad. It is his job to keep, you know, before you sin, he goes, it's no big deal. After you sin, oh, look at what you did. You'll never be able to be blessed by God. You'll never be able to use by God. That's what he does. But that's not the voice of God. So what do? You have to focus on God's eternal and consistent love for you. And you probably need to memorize some Bible verses that'll help you. Verses like, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Or, nothing can separate me from the love of God. That God loves you as much on today as he will tomorrow and the next day, that he'll never love you any more or any less than he does right now, because his love isn't based on your performance. His love is based on his character. He is love. And so you need to focus on how much God loves you. And you might need to sit down and the first thing you need to say is, God, help me to realize how much you love me. Help me to focus. God, help me to feel how much you love me. You see, if all you're doing is walking in, sit down, and let the devil start getting you off on all, don't focus on your sins. Focus on God's love. These are the steps to getting guidance from God. I desire to hear your will, God. I withdraw, I get alone by myself, undistracted, in a quiet place, and then I wait and I calm my emotions and my thoughts down. Now, what do you do while you wait? You do four things. Look at this verse at the bottom on the front side, Psalm 46:10. Read it aloud with me. Be still and know that I am God. Circle the phrase, be still. And underneath that, I want you to write this. Relax your body. Relax your body. That's the first step you do when you're waiting. And when your body relaxes, it relaxes your mind, and then you're more open and you're able to hear God better. So what do? The first thing you do when you're waiting is you relax your body. Everybody just take a deep breath. And you just kind of let it all out, and you let go of that muscle tension, and you kind of get comfortable. The Bible says David sat before the Lord, and I'm sure it was in a lazy boy chair. And you just get comfortable. Elisha, the Bible tells us, had a harpist play quiet music for him so he could relax, so that he could get in a position to hear God. And you can play instrumental praise music on a CD or a tape just to kind of relax your body. And then what do you do while you're waiting? On the back of your outline, these three things. You wait quietly. You wait quietly. Psalm 62 says, I will wait quietly before God. My hope is in him. Now, this takes time to learn to wait quietly. Busyness ramps up the RPMs in your mind. It gets it going. Have you ever got your mind going so fast you can't slow it down? You know what I'm talking about. When you're trying to do so many things in such a hurry, and you're trying to do 15 things at once, and your mind gets really, really going at high RPMs. And waiting quietly allows your engine to cool down. And it just slows those RPMs down so you can hear God. Now, you cannot calm yourself in a hurry. That's a contradiction. It's like, say, I'm going to be quiet right now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. It doesn't work that way. Trying to force yourself to calm down is like trying to force yourself to go to sleep. It doesn't work. You cannot force yourself to go to sleep. The only way you can do it is just to wait. Wait to relax, to calm down. It takes time. Wait quietly before the Lord. Also, the Bible says wait patiently. Look at the next verse. Wait patiently. The Bible says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. You see, once your body is still and once your mind is quieted down, you're going to become much more sensitive to hearing the voice of God. I like to say it this way. Inner calm creates the intercom to God. Inner calm creates the intercom to God. In other words, it makes the connection. It's when I'm slowed down, I've relaxed my body, and I'm waiting quietly, and I'm waiting patiently, and I just settle my mind. Now, some of you are saying, Rick, doesn't this sound like TM, transcendental meditation? Actually, it's the exact opposite of transcendental meditation. TM says, put your mind in neutral and don't think about anything, just let it, and just let anything flow into it that you want to. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you focus, you get quiet and you focus your mind on God. And you focus on Him and what He wants to say to you. Now, these steps, this is not some self-help thing. This is right out of the Bible. The Bible commands you to be still, to be quiet, to wait patiently, and it also commands us to wait expectantly. That's the last way. Wait expectantly. Psalm 105 says, I will wait expectantly, trusting God to help, for He has promised. Now, this is the faith factor, and God says, you know what? I speak to people who expect me to speak to them. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. If you don't expect to hear anything, God says, well, where's your faith? You just need to expect that I'm going to answer. Step four is watch. Watch. I watch and I let God give me a mental picture. Watching is letting God give you a mental picture. Notice Habakkuk, the fourth thing he does is he says in verse 1, I will look to see what He will say to me. I will look to see what He will say to me. Would you circle the phrase, look to see? Now, why does he say that? Why does he say, I'm going to look at what God says? Doesn't it make more sense to say, I will listen to what God says? Sure it does. So why is he saying, I'm going to look to see what God says? Very, very important point. God's voice is often visual. God's voice is often visual. What I mean by that? I mean that sometimes God speaks to you by putting a mental picture in your mind. He will give you an image, a picture. Now, some of you think, boy, this is kind of weird. God putting a picture in my mind? Listen, if NASA can receive pictures from Mars and Jupiter, don't you think God can put a picture in your mind? Yeah. And if NBC can take a picture in New York City and bounce it up into the heavens off a satellite, and bounce it back down to my living room and put the picture in my living room, don't you think God could put a picture in your mind? Well, of course He can. Now, the Bible is full of examples of God giving people a mental picture, a mental image, while they were praying. In the Bible, it's called a vision. Now, if that scares you, the word vision, just call it a mental picture. I don't care what you call it. But He puts an idea in your mind that you can actually see. And it's all through Scripture. God gave Abraham a mental picture of his future. Joseph, Jacob, David, Job. He gave visions and mental pictures to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and on and on. You say, well, all those are Old Testament guys. Anybody in the New Testament? Have you heard of Peter, Paul, and Mary? They're all in the New Testament. They all got images, pictures, visions from God. Now, God often uses a mental picture to clarify a problem in your life. Look at this with David in Psalm 73. He says, when I tried to figure it all I got was a splitting headache until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture. David said, you know, I had this problem going on in my life, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out. It was just really stressing me out, and I'm getting a headache. So I go to church, I go to the sanctuary, I go to the temple, and I focus on God. And while I'm focusing on God and I'm calming myself down, He gives me this picture, and all of a sudden, it all makes sense. And I see what He's doing in my life. And through a picture, God gave David perspective. Now, if there's anything that you need in your life more than almost anything else, you need perspective. Because most of the time you go through life with a little tiny narrow vision, seeing only this much of your problem and not seeing how it fits. And if anybody can give you the big picture, if anybody can give you the big perspective, it's God, because He sees it all. And when you see the whole picture and you see the big perspective, all of a sudden your little problem seems a whole lot smaller in the whole scheme of things. And so how do you get perspective from God? Let Him give you a picture. Now, some of you are thinking, Rick, isn't all this visualizing, isn't this kind of like New Age stuff? Well, it can be. In fact, the counterfeit is. But the counterfeit is just a copy of the real thing, which is biblical meditation or biblical visualization. You see, God gave human beings the ability to imagine. It's one of the greatest gifts God has given you. It's what makes you different from animals. Animals do not have imagination. They do not create tools. They do not dream like human beings do and create things through dreams. And God says, I have created you in my image, so I'm going to give you an imagination. Imagination. And just like God can think things up and create them, the Bible says God has given you an imagination. Napoleon said, imagination rules the world. Einstein said, imagination is more important than intellect, and it is. Because everything that's ever been created in the world, somebody dreamed up first. You're sitting in a building that somebody had to dream up first. It didn't just appear. Somebody saw it first in their mind. Then they put it into architectural drawings, and then it became a building. You're sitting on a chair that somebody imagined first how it would look, and then they designed it, and then they created it. This microphone, somebody imagined this microphone, and then from that, the dream became a reality. And when you are imagining and when you are creating, you are doing a talent that God has given you as a human being made in His image. Now, anything that God creates can be misused and abused. In fact, that is Satan's entire purpose. Satan cannot create anything, nothing. He's never had an original thought in his mind. All he can do is copy, pervert, misuse, and abuse. So what he does is he tries to take all the good things that God does and tries to pervert them. For instance, it was God's idea to think up sex. Aren't you glad he thought that one up? None of us would be here without that one, okay? God thought up sex. Has Satan perverted it? Yes, in many, many ways. God thought up food. Satan perverts food. You can go down the list. Everything that God has created in the world, Satan tries to abuse, misuse, and pervert. And the same is true with visualizing. Biblical visualizing of focusing on God and thinking His thoughts can be abused. And people try to get you visualizing on crystals and visualizing on this and that, which is not what God wanted you to do. In fact, when you visualize the wrong thing, one of the terms for that is called lust.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again and to find out more about this ministry, or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Hey, if you're enjoying this series and today's message, but you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series that includes 4 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's convenient for you. And you can always go back and listen as often as you want or share these messages with a friend. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 4 audio CD box set or downloadable high-quality MP3s. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com or just call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. That's 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
You were made by God, and you were made for God, and until you understand that, life is never going to make sense. But once you understand how much God loves you, your life will never be the same. God created you for a unique mission on this earth, and He wants you to complete it, and nobody else can complete it for you. So think about that today. Say, God, what do you want to do with my life? Thanks for listening today, and join me again next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.